Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, so glad you could join us today. Janie and I are looking at the four M's of emotion. We have looked at how emotions are molecules, messengers, manageable, and today we're looking at how emotions are messy.
Now, the joyous thing is Jesus Christ is sufficient in every way. So when we understand that once we make the choice and things still feel bad, then we don't necessarily feed our feelings, but that we know that they're going to be out there like having their own little wrestling match. And then God says He is sufficient to give us what we need to get those to come into an alignment.
Well, I tell you, we're definitely on the right topic, Janie. Yes. For this time in my life, it definitely has been a roller coaster ride for me. And so we have definitely been on the right topic of emotions. But I have learned over the past few weeks that we've been on this topic that emotions are molecules, that Yes. They are actually substance in our bodies and not invisible feelings floating out in space. I have also learned that emotions are messengers that come from our thought patterns that stem from past experiences or circumstances. Yes. It can also stem from a look that somebody might give us.
A present condition. Yes.
Interpret things like that. And I've also learned that emotions are manageable. But this is... I haven't quite learned how to manage them yet, Janie. And so just knowing that they're manageable gives me some hope. And I think this is why my emotions are so messy right now, which is where we're at today. So I need some help, Janie. Please come to my rescue. Tell me how I can manage these so they're not so messy.
Well, unfortunately, I am not your lifeboat or your lifesaver, but I do.
Oh, Janie. Come on, crash and burn.
You know, I do know the one that is. And I will tell you, as a way of encouragement, we will always have to be abiding in Him. And that's a free choice for us to manage these emotions. One of the things that I have learned through failure is that once I make a decision that I see in the Scripture and the Holy Spirit has enlightened me to see the truth, and I make the decision with my will to say, okay, Lord, I surrender all. Scary, scary words. Mm-hmm. But my heart means it. My mind means it. Even my gut, stomach, brain means it. But my emotions say, fooled you. I'm not coming along for the ride. And it's like the caboose that somebody unhooked at the back of the chain. Now, the joyous thing is Jesus Christ is sufficient in every way. So when we understand that once we make the choice and things still feel bad, then we don't necessarily feed our feelings, but that we know that they're going to be out there like having their own little wrestling match. And then God says He is sufficient to give us what we need to get those to come into an alignment. And I doubt that there has been an emotion, a negative wrong emotion, that I haven't chosen to live by at some point over these decades. But I can tell you that in the quiet years of my life that are now not so quiet, that the truth of how to manage those, and we want to get into a pathway, you know, don't like the words method and those sort of things, but let's talk about a pathway that someone can start today as they start to see how messy their emotions are.
Well, I tell you, my emotions have definitely been messy this week.
Can you express for people that are listening how that has displayed in your life? I mean, is it tears? Is it anger? Is it hopelessness? I mean, what are the thoughts that go with those messy emotions?
I just outbursts mostly. And then as soon as it happens, it's like, well, that was an outburst. And I shouldn't have done that.
But you recognize it.
Yeah, but it's too late. So now they're messy. So now I'm going back and saying, sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have acted that way. You know, and
but now stop and think, look at the beauty right there, Sharon, because you're probably so much further ahead than most, and we're not trying to compare, but the fact that you recognize it, it evidently gives you a bad feeling, and then your thought says we need to do something, so your thought process is already saying, emotions, we've got to make a change. Mm-hmm. And so, you're shortening the process for good because you're already more than halfway there in recognizing it, feeling that it's a bad feeling, wanting to do something about it, taking account of your actions and your attitudes if they have spilled over onto someone else.
And the cork popped.
And it wasn't a fresh wine that they came out, was it?
No.
Right. So let's just look at what causes you. We know we talked about where do thoughts begin. Mm-hmm. Well, where do the emotions get so messy with the thought processes? And several places where we're vulnerable is with the subtlety of the wiles of the enemy and the deeds of the flesh.
Okay.
And what I have found is we act so many times with fleshly deeds that we truly, truly do not see how they are affecting ourselves and others. And weeks ago when we started out with joy, Jesus first, others second, and us last. Well, today we're going to make ourselves first as we reveal our nasty nows. We don't want to call attention to us as a person, but we want to be able to be willing to be vulnerable to look at ourselves and reckon on what the scriptures tell us so that we can bring ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God into the only solution that I know that works. Now, this last week, I had the opportunity. I don't watch TV much, but my husband had a show on about the science of brain health. Well, you know, that triggered me since that's where we've been the last 4 weeks. Yeah. So I sat down and listened to it, and they had some very factual facts, some of the same things we've been saying, and I'm sure they are probably more educated than we because they are professionals in looking at this aspect of life. And they had some very good advice. They had some very good solution, but they had some very dangerous lacks because everything they offered was going to need to come out of human ability. Even you're meditating, and they did even tell you to look at a higher source. But you know, a higher source could even be a energy field.
Yeah.
There's only one higher source that wrote the manual on how to handle messy emotions. So you can have a lot of facts and a lot of intellectual without having the solution.
Right.
And so you're willing to say, right now, I know my solution is in my Creator, the one who made my DNA, the one who looks at my DNA and controls it. And that's our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we may come at the solutions here for messy emotions and controlling them a little bit differently because we want to see these from a biblical worldview, just not a worldview.
Right.
And so did you gain a victory on any of those emotions this week?
I wouldn't say yes at this point because it's so automatic. You know,
you mean the outburst?
It just comes out without thinking. You know, it's a habit, I guess.
But bad habit.
A bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, my emotions have just gotten me so messed up that.
But that's not something new. Is that something that you've battled for a good time and now with the pressure and the stress, they're surfacing? In other words, if you buried them at some point in time and you thought you were living okay.
That's what I'm saying. The cork popped because, you know, I haven't managed my emotions. We've talked about this in the past. You know, I've buried them and, you know, put a cork in it and then cork pops or push them to the side and I trip over them. And so I've not managed my emotions well. I've just buried them, pushed them away. And so this is just something that I've not overcome yet. I'm starting to recognize a little more quickly my emotions and how I am responding to certain things. I'm reacting to certain things rather than responding.
Are you able at this point, anytime this week, to be able to have the Holy Spirit bring a scripture to your mind that maybe settled your mind a little? Or
It convicted me, the outbursts of wrath as a works of the flesh. Yeah, I got that one.
And you remember the scripture in Galatians where it said that was a no-no?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I tell you what, Sharon, just let's start in. And I want to say that hopefully our goal today will be to just go over a few of the subtleties of the enemy. I don't want to leave us hanging another week without giving people listening a pathway that they can start to reckon with it. And we'll give it to you today and say, okay, here's an A, B, C, D that you can start to incorporate if you choose to, that won't solve the problems, but will put you on the pathway towards victory. Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about in the past, your brain thinking, which will mean it will control your outburst, can really put down new pathways in the brain within 4 days.
Okay.
So these little new dendrites, these little new finger cells that come into our brain can actually start to cover up those black holes that have made it possible for you to have these outbursts.
Okay.
So the first thing, Sharon, and now this is not a lecture, all right? This
lecture me, Janie. Come on, bring it on. I need it.
And so for anybody that is joining us today and listening, that these are all things that we all have probably battled and do battle as we don't wait on the Lord. So this is not a lecture, but this is opening up the can of worms so that we don't live in deception, which is where the enemy wants to keep us.
Absolutely.
So the first one that I'm going to address today is just self-will.
Okay.
And self-will has a lot of I wills in it. And I don't know, do you have your Bible open to Isaiah 14?
No.
Can you get that? Don't you go to that while I just talk about this a little bit? Self-will recognizes no king but their own imperative. And the danger in having a self-willed life is if it is not slain, then love can never reign. Okay, that's a one-liner we can remember. If self-will is not slain, love will never reign.
Okay.
Now, we can have emotional feelings of love, but we're talking always about the agape love, the volitional choice to put others second and Jesus first and ourselves last. And that will not happen until we are willing to die to those things that we really feel like would be a right for us. There are some things that God would really like to give us, but He can't entrust us with them because we will use them for our own glory and not His. So there are some good things that we pray for, and it's not like the Lord says, no way, I can't answer that. But He sometimes will say, no, wait until I can give them to you and you will be willing to handle them by my grace and power, not your own will.
Right, like given a kid $20, you don't want to give it to them. Give them $20 for their college trust fund because you know they're going to spend it on candy at the convenience store.
Yes, or sometimes I used to get allowance and the first thing I would do without my mother's permission was to go to the candy store before I went back to school and spend my whole allowance on candy. Yeah. So, yes, I do understand that. So it does require a surrender, but like I said, there is even hope when we are still under the bondage of self-will, and that is that as we are willing to let the pressures of life draw us to the Savior and we see our need, then there is hope now that the things that we desired can still be ours and God can entrust them to us. So let's don't get defeated as we go through these exposures because there is always hope. Then there is, this one can kind of sting, ladies, self-indulgence.
Okay.
And I take that particular explanation or illustration to, it's not wrong to eat and drink and to enjoy our appetites. But when we take the act of eating and drinking, which is not wrong, but it becomes wrong when we do it for the sake of indulgence. Can I have a scoop of ice cream after a meal? Well, really, that's the best time to have the sweets because you've got a lot of proteins and other things helping those sweets not to go straight to the bloodstream and spike your blood sugar level. But then if I decide that I've just bought 3 quarts of double chocolate fudge sundae with nuts, and I do feel that I need to eat the whole 3 pints or quarts or whatever it is, then I have taken my indulgence to a wrong. And that can be in the way that we do anything in life. Okay, it's taking the good things of life and taking them to an extreme.
Okay.
And so I like to counter with Romans 11:36. Where it says that all things are from him, by him, and to him. So then whatever I do cannot be for self-gratification. I can definitely eat all types of foods, unless the doctor says I've got some medical condition, but all foods are blessed for us. But it must be to minister to my body needs, not to my self-satisfaction and gratification. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to just make us sensitive. Do I have that cookie or do I have that package of cookies? Now, that's a simple illustration, and it goes to every walk of life, though.
Right.
So, again, self-indulgence is something that I just use a Romans 11:36 to help guide me on what I do, that all things are to be unto him. And then, Sharon, man, I tell you what, we are self-seeking. And yet the scripture says, love seeketh not her own. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. And so what is it to self-seek? Well, the subtlety for us ladies, even as believers, also for non-believers, is we want to accomplish something for our own personal end. Now, Sharon, we have to be careful. Do we have any personal goals? Or are we truly putting this broadcast into the hands of the Lord Jesus each and every time that we prepare during the week and that we broadcast? Do we want our names to be known? Do we want us to have a good reputation? Do we want people to say, oh, you should listen to those girls? Well, if we are wanting anything that has self in it, we need to examine. Now, hopefully they will want to listen to us, and they'll say, because they're willing to be vulnerable, but they take everything they say back to the Lord Jesus Christ, back to the scriptures. I don't want praise here, because if I get praise here, then I get my reward here. I want it to go to the throne room so that the Lord can look and say, in spite of the flesh patterns, you were covered with my blood, and your heart and your motives were to glorify me. I don't want to be self-seeking. But many times we are, and that's where using the word joy, everything we do we really magnify the Lord first? Do we really expose our vulnerability so that others can see, yeah, that's the same place I'm vulnerable, or that's the same place I keep outbursting every week, Sharon. I can identify with you greatly. But again, what is the heart motive? And then, Sharon, there are some people that are so gifted, and this is kind of a complex thought, but there is a self complacency. I'm satisfied with myself. Now, I'm not speaking personally. I'm using the I as a general.
Right.
I'm a good-looking woman. I am great at sports. I have great musical skills. I was a straight-A student. I really am quite satisfied with myself. And so when I present myself to you, I want you to be pleased with me. And then if you criticize me, I don't even take that into consideration because I know I'm so great. Now, that can happen very subtly. I'm kind of giving you the raw version of it. But that can happen with a person who is just so gifted. And those gifts are from the Lord. He says, the scriptures say, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. So do I praise the Lord with the gifts that He's given and then be in surrender to how He wants to work those gifts? And what if He decides to take my life and set it aside the way He did Abraham for a few decades, and the way He did Moses, and the way He did Jeremiah, the way He did David? He had to set them apart so that they would not see the grandiose in what they had. I mean, you look at Moses being raised in Pharaoh's house and all of the wisdom that he was given, and you look at the greatness of Abraham, and he was a very wealthy man. So we can go on and on and on, but those are just some opening examples. And so that we don't get into time constraints, I just want us to go to where we can set up a pattern or a pathway to where, if we recognize that we are operating with self-sufficiency, or if we are even, I'll throw one other one in here. Sometimes the very opposite of self-sufficiency is self-depreciation. The poor, pitiful pearl, yeah. Instead of the grandiose, I just can't do anything right.
There's a balance there, because, I mean, I hear you saying this one extreme here and then this other extreme down here. I'm self-sufficient and then self-defiance.
Well, there's a little bit of a termini. One, the self-sufficient is I'm Superman, mighty man. And the opposite of that is the poor, pitiful pearl. But they have the same root. The same root is pride.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I feel so bad about myself. I can't do anything right. I expect God to do more, and He's not doing more for me, so I'm not getting a fair shake. But yeah. It's still pride.
It's still pride.
Or it is, I'm good looking. I've got a good body. I've got good talents, what have you. But it's still pride.
Okay.
So what do we do? Well, I've already given you the first key. Don't feed the feelings.
Okay.
Recognize the feelings and then identify the feelings. I'm going to give us a little acronym. I believe that's how we say it.
Okay.
In the sports world, we have RICE, RICE. And if you get a sports injury, you have rest, ice, compression, and elevation. Those are the four things that someone does with a muscular injury. All right. We're going to use those same words, RICE, but it's going to be recognize your feelings, identify what those feelings are, and then compare those thoughts with the truths of Scripture.
Okay.
So I'm angry. From the scripture, do I have a basis for anger? Well, the Bible says you can be angry, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
But the anger isn't defending my own rights. The anger is I'm angered at the abuse that someone is giving the name of God, or I'm angered for the world imposing their system upon us. And then we have to explore our resources. We have the scriptures, but maybe it's hard. I don't know where to go for the scriptures.
Right.
Well, Sharon, practically, I thank God for the web. There's very few things I like about the web, but the resources that have been given to us on the internet to go find out good commentaries. We've got good preachers that are preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very, very quick overview. But just stop and think this next week when your emotions want to get out of control.
Get messy.
Get messy. And you started the right mm-hmm. track. You identified them, and you knew you needed to explore them and do something to change. You needed to compare. So we're going to have to leave it at that for today. But I think we have another few weeks on this particular area
yes.
to go to.
Okay. Well, I hope that I have a better report next week.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us today.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHarts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.